I don't know a lot. All I know is that at a certain time, I believe, what is it there? What is the name? What is the name of that tribe? It's not Wampanoag, the name will come back to me in a minute. And what he did when they didn't behave as Kieft wanted them to do, he beheaded a certain number of them, and he set them up, the skulls, all down what is today Wall Street, I guess, and as a warning to other Indians so that they better shape up. What is the name of that tribe, anyway? Bones, bones, skulls, pieces, pelvises, whatever. The whole jungle of bones. It's interesting. You go down to the Stockbridge Cemetery right now. There's a marker for good Captain John Conkapot and his people. It's sort of a mass grave. His wife is there and a number sort of scattering of Indian bones. Well, this was in a Christian cemetery. Well, up here, we had just a pit, and they were all dumped in it. And what TWM and the rest of them did was toss all the bones out of the pit, build a big bonfire, toss the bones into the bonfire, and have a whoopee time. Kids running around whooping like Indians. Well, then they pulled out. They pulled out a couple of skulls. And they called one of them Pompinus and the other Muckinus. And these, hey, what do you do with a skull? You put one up at the end of each end of the croquet court. And these skulls, well, they were sort of a symbol of the club, just the way the skull and bones in New Haven, with allegedly at one time Geronimo's skull was the star skull here. Well, we had our two skulls, Pompinus and Muckinus.
Did you, boy? No, you didn't. Not you.
Well, the skull theme continued in the club. If, you know, my dad, for instance, was the champion for, I think at least 10 years running. He won all the croquet games. And so we had inside the house, you know, a number of the trophy, award, the trophy you got at the end of the year, the end of croquet season. And they were shaped like skulls, and we kept those in a glass case, or he kept them in a glass case, and there they were, at least 10 skulls grinning down at us, very happy. There they were, skulls, and sort of thing a kid wakes up in the night and he sees a couple of empty sockets in front of him, and he thinks, oh, Jesus Christ, where am I?
Blue is dead on red. Red is dead on yellow and blue. Black is dead on yellow and blue. And yellow is dead on blue and black.
Can you imagine a wound that scabs over, and then it's picked open with a dental tool, and then it heals over, and then someone digs it open again, this time with a garden spade, and then it heals over until someone carves into it once again with a sushi knife. Wound upon wound, distress upon distress. That's the croquet court. So many restless and unhappy spirits. And so to bring them some measure of peace, I use a condor feather given to me by one of the great shamans of the Andes. Toque fueguito caca quaxotl, which means the one who makes the fire fly at night with the wings of a silver shitting bird. And he gave me this condor feather in exchange for my engagement ring. An old bond broken and a new bond begun. Now I stand here with this feather as my guide and comfort and healing wand. Kolata. Kolata. Kolata, 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 kolata.
I think it's as bad in its way. I mean, think if you had the end of every croquet game, a crucifix, the body of the Savior on it, how do you like that? How would you like that little Christian game? Every time you stake out, you knock Christ. I mean, it's the same thing. the dead are sacred, aren't they, to some degree? Don't they deserve some of our respect? Can we just use them as something at the end of a white man's game?
Spine, bone, wood. Spine, bone, wood.
And it's the violence on which the whole country is founded, of course, and that's what eats at you over the years. I mean, it all began with violence, and we pretend it's such a sweet affair with these nice Puritans walking around in their stiff costumes. But it started out, you know, with the killing and the killing and the killing. That's how it all started, in blood and bones.
Spine, bone, wood. Spine, bone, wood. Spine, bone, wood.
I sometimes think the whole story of Ichabod Crane, that Washington Irving story about the headless horseman, I think that's part of the whole American mythos. There is this headless thing riding around. It's sort of Geronimo as a white man. I mean, he's been deprived of his head. The ghost is riding through the New England skies, riding through the, you know, just it's in our atmosphere. And it's got to come down sometime, and it came down in its own way on the Skull and Bones Club right there in New Haven at the center of culture in this college that was founded for the preaching to the Indians and to everyone else. New Haven, Yale was set up for preachers. All these colleges around there were set up for preachers. And that, of course, is where the skull of Geronimo supposedly at one time, that's where it landed up, stolen from its burial site out there in Oklahoma, brought back to civilized New Haven, and there we have the ghost riding over New Haven, riding over New England, and now riding over Washington, D.C. It's a gory road to glory, but we're ready, here we go, shout Geronimo, Geronimo. They're coming out of the sky, they're falling down, they're coming out of the sky.
Praise to you as befits you, O wisdom.
Well, yes, Matheson attended Yale University, and it's also true that he was a member of one of the student societies there, the Skull and Bones. And each New Year's Eve, the senior graduating bonesmen would send up a delegation from New Haven carrying one of their own Native American artifacts, a skull that they named Geronimo, though nobody knows in any definitive way if it really belonged to the historical Geronimo. But the idea was that their skull could visit with Pompeinus and Machinus, and they would have a sort of high-level powwow of their own, and that this might offer some consolation to their restless spirits. It was a sign of respect, you see, and a willingness to let the dead celebrate with the living. We don't do that anymore. We like to keep the dead out of sight, out of mind. We're so squeamish about death, and so it's been many years, actually, since Pompeinus and Machinus have seen the light of day. They're squirreled away inside the safe there in total darkness, like a couple of ossified mushrooms. And to my way of thinking, there's something very sad about that. I mean, is it not more humane to let them have their day in the sun?
Machinus. Of great importance in the proper appearance of the breed is the ear. Capital O. Of great importance is the proper importance. Capital O. Of great importance is the proper appearance of the breed is the ear, comma. And especially the proper cropping of the ear to create a pleasing shape and appearance, full stop. Capital E. Ear cropping is illegal in many countries, including capital G, Great, capital B, Britain, and capital A, Australia, but many others, comma, including capital A, American, capital B. Capital E, ear cropping is illegal in many countries, including capital G, Great, capital B, Britain, and capital A, Australia, but many others, comma, including capital A, American, capital D, Doberman fanciers, comma, believe that an erect, comma, cropped ear enhances the appearance of this breed, full stop.
I used to be one of the ladies who lunch. blissfully unaware of all the pain in our bodies, in our psyches, in our homes, in our pets even, and in our hearts. Well, then there was my famous bout with the 3 Ds. Well, it was famous for me. Divorce, drugs, depression. It might have been the 4th D, the big D. But then I met a woman who saved my life. She was a witch, a good witch, and a Jungian, and a lipstick lesbian. And one day she took me by both hands and looked deep into my eyes. And it was like she was peering into my most private nook. And she said, "Mira, you already know about dark places. And thus, I hereby charge you with a luminous mission, to become one with the sun." Then she crushed 5 acorns together in a stone bowl. She said they came from the most ancient oak tree in all the Berkshires. And she made a sort of paste of it, and we ate it. We washed it down with whiskey she had from the Isle of Skye. And just like that, I changed. Inside out. I carry this hand puppet with me to remind me how it goes. Here's the one side, and it's a red devil with yellow eyes and horns. And then you turn it inside out, and there's a soft little bunny rabbit with blue eyes and a pink tongue. And that's how it goes for me. Devil. Bunny. Devil. Bunny. Devil.